You understand. I'm talking about a compulsory bar. So I am the one who proposed at our conference that the State Bar of Michigan be dismantled. They had raised the dues for the third or fourth time since I was in the court. They had just finished a brand new six-story building in Lansing. I think it's six stories. Elaborate legislative process. The Falk case had focused our attention on the breadth of the political lobbying the Supreme Court of Michigan was engaged in. So I propose that we unhorse the State Bar of Michigan, and we ought to require every lawyer to continue to join the State Bar, and that he pay whatever dues are necessary to fund the bar examination superintendents that it conducts, the grievance process that it conducts, and whatever other functions the State Bar is required by statute to be involved in. And that I thought, although we hadn't yet done an actuary, a budget study, I thought maybe $15 instead of then, I think it was $180 or $150 a year, would cover that. And I propose that that those who are interested in the politics and the society of the Bar Association were, of course, perfectly free to found a bar association, like the American Bar Association, which is just a voluntary union. And then they could attract whatever members they could attract on the basis of the services they were offering, like discounts on cars and other things. To my utter surprise, an immediate ally for that point of view was my friend Chuck Levin. And that's humorous to me and to you, because we both know that for my time in the court, he and I were generally the philosophical poles on the court. Kind of the spokesperson for the generally liberal perspective, and me for the opposite perspective. And we didn't agree on much, but when we agreed, as we did on most of the rules of evidence, it was a strange bedfellow arrangement. And this proposal at first was not treated seriously by a couple of our colleagues.
Did it ever reach the light of day? Was it ever...
It reached the light of day, all right. It came to the attention of Mr. Frank and others whose view is totally different about the role of the bar.
They didn't immediately put it in the bar journal.
No. It was discussion around the table, and it probably should not have gone into the public ear, because it was only a proposal that it had not been proposed by anybody on the outside. It came out of my head, I believe, although I'd heard all my life, I had heard lawyers, the ordinary guy and the girl and woman trying to earn a living in the suburbs and elsewhere who don't belong to the big silk stocking firms, that they don't know why they have to help fund this bureaucracy up there that doesn't seem to be of any benefit to the ordinary lawyer. Well, that had been rattling around in my head. Well, when there were superimposed over that, what I began to learn about the tremendously powerful influence the State Bar Commissioners had on policy in Michigan, I really came to this conclusion seriously. And we came very close to doing it. We had an informal 4-3 vote, non-binding, informal, to see if there was any interest in this. And I could never get the fourth vote.
Was this about the time of bifurcation of the disciplinary process?
Yes.
And was this somehow meshed in? Did this come out? Was it part of the product of the dialogue that you just described?
Well, it was a byproduct.
Levin would have been very powerfully in favor of this, would he not? Just like
he was powerfully in favor of bifurcating. Mm-hmm. The State Bar disciplinary process. I was opposed to that.
Oh, you were?
Yes, but I didn't feel terribly strongly about it. I fell back on the sort of the mundane rule, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I was not satisfied that I had been shown that there was anything lacking in the effectiveness or the integrity or the justice of the unitary disciplinary process, which was the practice across the United States. So I was kind of requiring those who wanted to redesign the wheel to show me why.